South African photojournalist Kevin Carter snapped the picture of a small, starving Sudanese girl crawling towards a food shelter. A vulture was poised a few feet away, waiting for the inevitable. Few who saw the Pulitzer Prize-winning photo weren't haunted by the scene. With so much bad news, is there any good news? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to talk about the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
How can a loving God allow the suffering we see all around us every day? How can a loving God condemn the majority of mankind who aren't Christians to everlasting punishment in hell? Maybe you've agonized over a relative or friend who died an agnostic. Is that person forever damned in indescribable torment? What about children who die from malnutrition, war, and disease in remote areas of the world where they've never even heard of Jesus Christ? Are they forever trapped in satanic inflicted torture? This is a common teaching in mainstream Christianity, but is this the Christianity of the Bible? If, as the once popular Christian song implies, he's got the whole world in his hands, how can these evils exist? Has God lost control of the world? Has he dropped it and struggling to pick it up again? One of the most quoted verses in the Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But isn't God being unfair to untold billions of people who are without the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Yet the Bible claims that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In the Middle Ages, Christian zeal to save lost souls launched the Crusades and the use of torture and killing in order to force Muslims and Jews to accept Jesus. Over the centuries, missionaries suffered and died to bring the message of Christ to primitive tribes. But the harsh reality is that in spite of all these efforts, the majority of mankind is still non-Christian. So the question remains, what about the billions of people who throughout history have never heard of Jesus Christ? Couldn't Jesus just sort of, as a miracle, appear to people in China, Japan, and Africa and convert hundreds of millions? You know, if God and Satan are in a war over the souls of men, it seems that God is losing. In the United States, society's acceptance of religious ideas that a century ago would have been branded as non-Christian has caused many to question whether a loving God would condemn non-Christians to everlasting punishment. Anti-Semitism, so prominent in the history of Orthodox Christianity, is giving way to acceptance that salvation is available through Judaism without accepting Jesus as the Messiah. There is increasing popularity in the New Age belief that God reveals himself through a variety of religious experiences, including Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam. We've already quoted Acts 4:12, where the Apostle Paul is speaking of Jesus and says that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Bible clearly pronounces that there is no eternal salvation without Jesus the Christ. Does this mean that all the billions of people throughout history who never heard of Jesus are eternally damned? And what is the reward of the true followers of Jesus Christ? You know, the most common teaching is that the saved go to heaven upon death. But did you know this is not what Jesus taught? He teaches, as recorded in John 6:40. Now listen to this. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now wait a minute. Jesus Christ says that the reward of his followers is a resurrection from the dead at the last day, not going to heaven immediately after death. The Apostle John is inspired to write about this resurrection in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. Now, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one because you're going to want to follow along here. He writes, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones and they who sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now listen to this. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's a direct quote. John goes on and says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now notice that here the Bible reveals a resurrection of the saints at the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Here in the book of Revelation, this is clearly called the first resurrection. The rest of the dead are not resurrected until the end of Christ's 1,000-year reign here on earth. Let's go to the Apostle Paul. Paul warns Christians to take their great calling seriously so as not to jeopardize the grace that God offers. He writes in 2 Corinthians 5, 9-11. Get your Bible. Find this, 2 Corinthians 5, 9-11. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, speaking of God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in this body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If the resurrection of the saints is called the first resurrection, what is the second resurrection? We'll be back to answer that question and others with the pastor of the United Church of God right after these messages.
The most common Christian belief regarding the afterlife is that people possess souls, and at death their consciousness in the form of that soul departs from the body and heads for heaven or hell. And most people cling to the notion that God sends those who die unsaved to an ever-burning hell to be tormented forever. But instead, the scriptures consistently teach that each person who dies remains in his grave, having no consciousness or pain until God resurrects him. You need to read a copy of our easy-to-read 55-page booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? You can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Just what is the reward of the saved promised in the Bible? What does the Bible teach about the resurrection from the dead? And why does the book of Revelation mention more than one resurrection? We have with us today on a telephone hookup from the United Church of God in Houston, Texas, Ken Giese. Welcome, Ken. We're glad to have you join us here in our discussion on the resurrections.
Thank you, Gary. It's my pleasure to be with you today.
Well, let's get right into this. The most common teaching concerning the reward of the saved, I think that most Christians believe, is that they die and go to heaven. Now, what does the Bible actually teach is the reward of the saved?
Gary, the Bible clearly defines the reward of the saved. Multiple scriptures point toward an earthly reward, one involving living and reigning with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God on earth. In Revelation 5:10, we read, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." In Matthew 5 and verse 5, Christ clearly states that the meek shall inherit the earth. And in Matthew 25:34, as Christ returns to the earth, he gathers his elect on his right hand and extends this invitation to them: "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Establishing his kingdom on earth was clearly God's intent from the beginning.
Okay, but I think for most Christians now, this creates a problem. I mean, if the reward of the saved is to be with Christ on this earth, and of course Christ hasn't returned yet, what happens to individuals when they die?
The Apostle Paul clearly addresses this question as well, Gary, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we read from verses 13 and 14, he compares death to sleep. Quoting the Apostle Paul, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Gary, even Job understood the concept of death as a form of sleep or a type of sleep, as we read in Job chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. "Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would keep me secret until your wrath be past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again?" And isn't this the question that mankind has always asked? Job asks it here. If a man dies, will he live again? Job's answer is clear. "All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. You shall call, and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands." Simply put, Gary, the dead are dead or asleep. They are awaiting the resurrection.
Well, in the first segment, we were talking about a Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. Now, you're talking about the resurrection here. How does that tie in and explain the resurrection of Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6?
Well, verse 5 of Revelation 20 plainly tells us that these verses are describing what you have correctly referred to as the first resurrection, the awakening of the dead at Christ's return to establish the kingdom of God on earth. This is a resurrection to eternal life, and those who are part of this first resurrection will live and reign with Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. In verse 4 we read, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So clearly, that is a discussion of the first resurrection, the resurrection that will occur at the return of Jesus Christ.
Now, logically, if there's a first resurrection, I guess there has to be more than one.
Absolutely, Gary. The rest of the dead referred to in verse 5 of that same series of verses in Revelation 20, those billions who have lived and died without ever knowing God's plan and Christ's mission to establish the kingdom of God on earth, will be resurrected to mortal life and live in a world transformed by 1,000 years of the government of God ruling the earth. It seems unusual, doesn't it, that the focus of traditional Christianity has been a heavenly reward, while the focus of the Bible and Jesus Christ himself clearly points us to an earthly reward in the form of the kingdom of God on earth.
But doesn't this open sort of a question? I mean, are you saying that everybody sort of gets a second chance at salvation?
Well, Gary, I couldn't say that, and based on what the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say that either. In fact, the Bible clearly tells us that each of us will receive only one chance at salvation. Few seem to realize that the vast majority of mankind, both living and dead, have never had their first chance at salvation. And our loving God is going to use this second resurrection that we're talking about on the program today to give billions their first opportunity to hear and accept the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Fascinating information, and we have a lot more to talk about concerning the resurrections from the dead. We'll be back right after this.
The most common Christian belief regarding the afterlife is that people possess souls, and at death their consciousness in the form of that soul departs from the body and heads for heaven or hell. You need to read a copy of our easy-to-read 55-page booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? In our free booklet, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
You're listening to Good News Radio, and we're talking with Pastor Ken Giese from Houston, Texas, concerning the resurrections of the dead. Now, Ken, what does the Bible say is the final reward of the saved?
Well, Gary, I would like to let the Scripture answer that question by reading Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Gary, these verses clearly describe what God has in store for all of mankind, and he will accomplish it through the resurrection of the dead.
What a great hope. Ken, thanks for joining us today on Good News Radio.
I've enjoyed being with you today, Gary.
We've read in Revelation that the Father will send Jesus Christ back to this earth to establish his kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, there will be a second resurrection called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, let's go back to Revelation 20. As always here in Good News Radio, or in the Bible, we want you to look at the Word of God and what he has for you. Now, Revelation 20, beginning in verse 11, John writes, Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The Bible clearly reveals a second resurrection in addition to the resurrection of the saints at Christ's second coming. Now, unlike the first resurrection, those in the second resurrection are restored to physical life instead of spiritual life. The prophet Ezekiel was given a vision of a valley filled with dry bones in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. You've probably heard the old spiritual about them bones, them bones. Well, God tells Ezekiel that these bones will come together, be covered with flesh, and come back to life. That's totally different than what happens in the first resurrection. The purpose is so that these people may know the real God, as it says in verse 37. And God says to those whom he resurrects, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. That's verse 38. Now let's go back to Revelation. Revelation 20, verse 12. It states the books were opened, followed by the opening of the book of life. The first books are the scriptures, God's instructions on how to live, and revelation of how he has interacted in human history. There is an incredible truth that most Christians don't understand. Now listen to that again. This is an incredible truth that most Christians don't understand. Paul teaches that where there is no knowledge of sin, there is no imputing or putting to one's account. That's in Romans 5, verses 12 through 15. You see, God is not yet passing eternal judgment on the majority of mankind. All who ever lived without a chance of salvation will be resurrected and given an opportunity to know the real God. This is the second resurrection. It's not a second chance. This is for all those who never knew God, all the billions of people who never even know, have never known or heard of Jesus Christ. Jesus warned religious leaders of his day that they would be resurrected along with those God destroyed in Sodom. He told the Pharisees that the people of Nineveh of Jonah's time and the queen of Ethiopia from the time of Solomon will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. Now, these people will be resurrected together at the second resurrection. This doesn't mean, once again, that everyone gets a second chance. Those called by God in this age who have received the Holy Spirit are now under judgment. The second resurrection is for all those who never had a calling from God in this Satan-dominated world. What, then, is to be the final judgment for the wicked who just will not repent? Well, let's go back and pick up in Revelation 20. Now, Revelation 20, let's start in verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, that's an exact quote. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The second death is complete annihilation of life. It isn't eternal torment, as most people have been told. This is what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 10, verses 28 through 31. Get your Bible and look it up for yourself, because this is what Jesus said. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Of course, speaking of God. The fact that God punishes the wicked means that there must be personal responsibility in responding to God's grace. A gospel without a call to repentance and message of Christ's coming judgment becomes a message based on a superstition that accepting the name of Jesus is all that God requires. The encouraging news is that God doesn't call anyone to fail. True Christianity is a relationship with God as his sons and daughters. Judgment is now upon the house of God, that members of his family have direct access to the Father, the leadership of Jesus Christ, and the power of the indwelling Spirit to ensure victory. The only way we can lose salvation once called and received by God is to willingly return to the previous unconverted state. Christians need to be mindful of the grace that God offers through his Son. We celebrate the fact that our sins are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit is given so that God's righteousness is developed in us. Christians can take a positive view of the judgment by looking forward to the first resurrection. Now, some may say, okay, if the majority of mankind is going to receive an opportunity for salvation in the future, then why should the church work at preaching the gospel to the world now as commanded by Jesus Christ? Well, the real question should be, if we understand the great message of hope, how can we not preach it with every fiber of our being? Anyone who understands the gospel desires to share it with other people. It's easy for us to become involved in our daily troubles and miss the grandeur of God's great plan of salvation that reaches across time to all mankind. Remember Peter's admonishment to the early church. This is from 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 9. But the heaven and the earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some have counted slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Kevin Carter, the photojournalist mentioned at the top of the program, took many snapshots of humanity's evils towards each other. He was disturbed by what he saw. He once said that he had vivid memories of killings and corpses and anger and pain, of starving, of wounded children, of trigger-happy madmen. Kevin Carter was overwhelmed by the suffering of humanity cut off from their Creator. He committed suicide at age 33. There is hope for this sick and dying world. The majority of humanity who never had an opportunity to know the true God will have an opportunity to choose salvation through Christ in the great white throne judgment. The seldom known truth is that there is great hope for billions of the living and the dead. If you would like to comment on today's program, and we may even read your comment on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The most common Christian belief regarding the afterlife is that people possess souls, and at death their consciousness in the form of that soul departs from the body and heads for heaven or hell. And most people cling to the notion that God sends those who die unsaved to an ever-burning hell to be tormented forever. But instead, the scriptures consistently teach that each person who dies remains in his grave, having no consciousness or pain until God resurrects him. You need to read a copy of our easy-to-read 55-page booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? You can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.